of mine must just behave. All right. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, you find us going through a series titled The Blessing of Honor. The Blessing of Honor. That is a series we started 3 weeks ago, and the Lord has been speaking to us in a profound way, and I pray and I believe that He will continue speaking to us even today. So last week, we introduced a sermon titled God Honoring in All. God Honoring in All. And we're going to continue this morning. It is so deep. It is so massive. You can't exhaust this topic. And it's important that we place weight on it. Even as we get into this topic on the blessing of honor, I want you to realize that in the absence of God honor, any other honor cannot be qualified as honor. Does somebody hear me this morning? I need you to talk to me, all right? So last week we mentioned that true honor is only possible if you wholeheartedly honor God first. True honor is only possible if you honor God first. Why? The moment you honor someone or something more than God, the Bible calls it idolatry. The moment you honor your husband, your wife, your car, your job more than God, the Bible has got a name for it. The Bible calls it idolatry. And today I want you to realize that there is a place that only God should have in your heart. There is a place that only God should have in your heart. Now let's go into the scriptures. Last week, we referred to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. This is the story of the high priest Eli, whose children had dishonored God by the way they conducted themselves in the house of God. Eli had sons who were working as priests in the tabernacle, and they behaved in a dishonoring way whereby they were demanding people to serve them in a certain way. They were demanding certain sacrifices to be given to them as people were offering in the house of God. Phinehas and his brother were abusing the people of God. The Bible even says these priests were having sexual activities with ushers in the house of God. Can you imagine that? That's how dishonoring they were. But Eli, their father, did not act. He simply said to them, "My sons, what I'm hearing about you is not good." And he left them like that. In the eyes of God, Eli should have done more. Eli should have told his son to step aside and to bring in honoring priests in order for them to execute the duties of a priest. Now, the Lord spoke to Eli through a prophet. And verse 30 of 1 Samuel chapter 2 gives us the last portion of what this prophet said to Eli. And this is what he said. "Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Far be it from me. For I will honor those who honor me." I want you to take note. The Lord was saying, "I will honor those who honor me, but those who despise me will be disdained." And what the Lord was saying here, honor is reciprocal. If you honor me as your father, I will honor you back. And I think it is such an awesome thing to be honored by men, but it's another thing to be honored by God. Because when God honors you, nobody can dishonor you. It doesn't matter even if they don't like you, but if God's honor is on your life, You are sorted, my brother. If God's honor and God's favor is on your life, you don't need to worry about life. But the opposite is true. If God disdains you, you are in trouble. Because it doesn't matter how nice you are, it will not stick. And the Lord says, far be it from me. Anyone who honors me, I will honor. But anyone who dishonors me, I will disdain. Now, we then said, how do we encapsulate or put together a life of honor? And we went to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And that is the essence of a God-honoring life. How do we attain a God-honoring life? Mark 12, verse 28. And coming up, one of the scribes heard them reasoning. Knowing that he had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That for me summarizes a life of honor. When you live a life that loves God above everything else, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That summarizes a life of honor. And last week we started unpacking the conduct that is God-honoring. And I must say, these type of teachings are very rare. It's a teaching that is not very popular. And yet it is so central to our walk with Jesus. And so let's explore further this morning a conduct that is God-honoring. So last week we looked at the first one. We said, God honor is loving God supremely, more than all other beings and all other things. When you love God supremely, more than all other things, more than all other beings, I want you to think about that one that you love, your wife, or maybe you're dating your girlfriend or your boyfriend. I don't know, maybe you've just bought a vehicle and it's very shiny and very nice. I know as a man, when you buy that toy, you get so attached to it. You know, you don't want to see scratches. Kids cannot eat in that car. You have a fight because of that. You love it so much. But if you are to be God-honoring, there is a place that only God occupies in your heart. Does somebody hear me this morning? Number two, I want us to look at the next conduct. God honor is fully submitting to the authority of God's word. When you're talking about a God honoring life, according to scriptures, it is a life that is fully submitted to the authority of the word of God. I want you to realize this morning that one of the aspects of honor is to regard someone or something in high regard. It means that you take them seriously. It means that whatever they say has weight in your heart. Some of you can still hear your mother's voice shouting about dishes that has been left in the sink. You always hear her voice. So when you see dishes in your sink, you hear mama's voice and you do something about it. I don't know about you. Whose word do you place weight on? You see, when you honor God, you will highly regard his word. And this is a clear measure of one's honor for God. What place does the word of God have in your heart? What do you do when your preference contradicts the word of God? What do you do when what you like is not aligned with the word of God? What do you do? You've met this guy. He's really awesome. He is kind. He is tender-hearted. He is caring, but he is not born again. Mona, what do you do? This guy fits the profile. This guy ticks all the boxes, except for one box. He is not born again. He's not a child of God. What do you do? You know very well the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. How can light and darkness intermingle? Start reasoning. Maybe he will get born again along the journey. Maybe I will lead him to Christ. Are you Jesus? It's not for you to save that guy. Listen, if you get married, be prepared. He might not get saved. And now what? But this is the question of honor. The word of God says one thing, but your situation says another thing. What do you do? Do you trust that there is somebody out there? Because you know, these days they tell you, in churches, it's difficult to find a real guy. These brothers in churches are not tender. They don't even open doors for you. They fight with you to get through the door. But then this guy, he fits the profile. Put this down. When you disregard God's word, you are dishonoring God in the process. It doesn't matter how nice it sounds. I mean, the weekend is coming and they're slaughtering at the rural area. They're talking to their ancestors. And they invited you. What are you going to do? Family is very key to you. You don't like rocking the boat. And uncle said, we are slaughtering. It is important that you come because you are the firstborn. What do you do? When you disregard God's word, you are dishonoring God in the process. There is a blessing attached. And that is why we speak about the blessing of honor. When you honor God, his word becomes your command. His word becomes your wish. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is, you know his word is his supreme authority. You submit yourself to the word. John chapter 14, verse 21. The Lord Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who keeps my commandments, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. Wow. The blessing of honor. When you honor God's word, it gives you access to certain things. Verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. What a blessing. We spoke about a commanded blessing. We spoke about a specific blessing that accrues to those of you, those of us who highly esteem God's word. Now put this down. Highly esteeming God's word will give you access, number one, to God's love. Number two, it gives you access to a deeper revelation of God. Number three, it gives you access to God's abiding presence. Wow. You want more of God in your life? Submit to his word. He says, those who love me, my Father will reveal himself to them. Those who submit themselves to my word, we will come because we like his, we just like being in his house. Why? Because we are welcome. The Lord Jesus was saying, there are certain places we cannot go. Why? Because we are not honored. The Lord Jesus says, when you keep my commandments, my Father and I will come and we will create our abode in that life. If you want the presence of Jesus in your life, just check at what place does the word of God come into your life. He says, if you obey my word, my Father will reveal himself to you. If you obey my word, my Father will love you. If you obey my word, we will come and stay. So powerful. You see, every time you submit yourself to the word, you will experience the God type of results. Let me say that again. Every time you submit yourself to God's word, you receive a God type of result. There is no one that has submitted himself to his word and they've just experienced ordinary results. No. I'm reminded of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was a virgin. She had not known a man. And the angel Gabriel came and said, you are highly favored, O woman, because you've been visited today. Something of the Spirit shall be birthed in you. And Mary says, how can it be? I've never known a man. And then she said, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. At that point, conception took place in her womb. She received God's word. Hallelujah. If somebody can be like that, conception will be taking place every single day. You will start conceiving the things of the Spirit. You will give birth to something of the Spirit. She said, be it unto me according to your word. And she became a mother of God. She became a mother of Jesus. When you submit yourself to the word of God, these miracles become a reality in your life. Let's track down with Jesus. Jesus appears and he speaks to people on the shore of Galilee. And Simon Peter comes up in a boat and whole night they caught nothing. Jesus asks, can I use your boat? Can I just push a little bit further out so that I can speak to these people? Jesus preaches the gospel. And afterwards he says to Peter, cast your net on the other side. And Peter said, I've done that whole night and caught nothing. But because you said it, I will do it. Glory be to God. Because you said it, I will do it. He cast his net, and the Bible says the net was almost breaking because of the multitude of the fish as he was dragging it back into the boat. Why? He submitted himself to God's word. He said, because you said it, I will do it. At that point, the fish had to obey the voice of his maker. And all the fish that were around came right to the place where the net was being cast. What was the difference? The word. Let's track further down. The centurion had a servant who was sick. And he comes to Jesus and says, my servant is sick. Would you come and pray for my servant? And then he realized, no, I'm a man of sin. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. But I'm a man under authority. I say to one, go, and they go. To another one, come, and they come. If you speak the word, my servant will be healed. Just speak the word. Oh, what a faith. And the Bible says, at that time, the servant was healed. Submitting ourselves to God's word. Every time we submit ourselves to God's word, we receive a God type of result. It doesn't matter how much failure you have experienced in your life. You might have been working right through the night, but when you submit yourself to God's word, something changes. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And nothing was made which was not made by the word of God. John chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. What am I talking about this morning? It is God honoring to submit yourself to the authority of His word. David was one man who was fully submitted to God's word. And there was a difference between King David and King Saul. When you read the life of David, David was not prepared to move unless it had been gazetted or unless God had given him direction. 9 times David inquired of the Lord. And I've got a list of these scriptures. You can just pull up those slides. 9 times David would ask, shall I go against these Amalekites? Shall I go against these Philistines? Lord, do you want me to go and take Hebron? And the Lord would say, go. Or he would say, do it differently this time. I want you to realize that when David would inquire of the Lord, he would get results that only heaven can give. David was readily available to accept God's counsel. And that was the difference between him and Saul. Saul became king. And the first time he went out to fight the Amalekites, the Lord had given Saul a command. And the Lord said to Saul, I want you to go and completely destroy everybody because of what the Amalekites are doing. Destroy everything. That was the command. And Saul goes. Saul and his boys destroyed everything except. Every time there is an except in your life in relation to the word of God, it is dishonoring. Saul goes and he preserves the animals. They were fattened cows. They were enticing to the eye. And Saul says, I'm going to go sacrifice to God and to myself. For there was an altar he had created for himself. And he says, Agag, I'm going to take him with me. And as he was coming from this battle, the prophet Samuel comes and he says to Saul, have you done all that God has told you to do? And Saul says, yes, man of God, I have done everything that God commanded me to. And Saul says, what is this bleating that I'm hearing? And Saul says, Master, we kept some so that we can sacrifice to God. We kept some animals so that we can sacrifice unto God. Now look at this, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel says, does Jehovah delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen is better than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idol worship. Wow. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idol worship. It means that you are placing weight on something other than God. Because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, he has also rejected you from being king. May the Lord help us. May His grace enable us to say yes to His word. Put this down. You cannot sacrifice your way out of obeying God's word. You know, there are times where we do things and we feel like we can compensate by coming to church more, by being the first one to get into church, trying to compensate for something that we know God wants us to sort out. And this is what Saul thought was going to happen. We cannot. sacrifice our way out of obeying God's word. It is so important. The only way to live a life pleasing to God is by fully submitting to God's word. And David knew how to do this. In Psalm 119 verse 9, the Bible says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By listening to Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. Verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is a life-changing issue. I have hidden your word in my heart. What have you hidden in your heart? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can only speak what is filling your heart. As long as we take God's word on the same level as man's word, we will be dishonoring towards him. There has to be a difference between the weight you place on your pastor's word and the weight you place on God's word. Does somebody hear me this morning? It is God honoring when we place so much weight on the word of God. Number three. Let me see if I'll be able to finish this one. It's quite heavy. Number three, God honor is reflected by how and by what you give to God. God honor is reflected by how and what you give to God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Everything. What do you give? How you give and what you give to God determines your level of honor for God. What is it that God wants of you? What is it that God wants of me? First and foremost, God wants my heart. He wants my heart. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then everything else follows. We went into depth last week around loving the Lord with all your heart. That is why we say, give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Open up your heart to Jesus. He says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anyone hears me and he opens up, I will come in and I will dine with him and him with me. Glory be to God. Give your heart to Jesus. If you are here today and you haven't given your heart to Jesus, don't give him anything else. He won't receive it. He wants your heart. Secondly, God wants my body. When God has my heart, he can then have my body. God wants to have my body. And many people don't understand the value of their bodies towards the furtherance of God's kingdom. Your body is so key to the advancement of the kingdom of God. God wants your body. God wants to use the vessel that he gave you. Put this down. It is God honoring to readily offer your body for his use. It is God honoring when you say, into thine hands, O God, I put my body, that you can use it for your glory, for your honor, for your purposes. When a church has a revelation of how valuable their body is, the church will start living differently. Romans 12 verse 1, you knew I was going there. Romans 12 1, Paul was begging the church at Rome. And he says, I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Other version says, which is your act of worship. Your body, when you present it before God, it's an act of worship. You see, I need to start treating this body as valuable. It talks about what I put in this body. It talks about whether I run sometimes, I jog, I exercise so that I can remain fit for purpose. Are you fit for purpose? Am I able to preach a sermon without collapsing here? Yeah? Very possible. There are pastors who have collapsed when they're preaching, because you see, when you preach, your heart goes, pumps very fast. And if you are not fit, you might have problems. That's why you need to look after your body. Paul says bodily exercise has some level of gain. There's some benefits when we look after ourselves. Put this down. Your body is yours, but was not given for you only, but for God's use as well. It is yours, but it's not just for you. There is a reason and a purpose for your body. You know, when God wants to do something on earth, He looks for a body that He can use. I wish we can get that revelation. Whenever God wants to do something in Hasfontein, He looks for a body. Whenever God wants to do something in Pretoria, He looks for a body. Does somebody hear me this morning? Stop treating your body as a cheap product. It is valuable. When God was about to bring the Messiah, did He bring a spirit? No. He brought a body. Hebrews 10 verse 5. The Bible says, therefore, when He comes into the world, He says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but you have prepared a body for me. So the Godhead was talking, and they're saying, it is time to come down, to go down. And Jesus says, I'm ready to go, but get me a body. Prepare a body for me. And I want you to know that when God wants to do something in your neighborhood, He looks for a body that is fit for purpose. Is your body fit for purpose right now? You see, when you give your body to God, you are giving something valuable that will enable God's kingdom to advance. Do you know that when the devil himself wants to cause havoc, he looks for a body. He looks for a body to possess with a demon. And a demon-possessed person will go about doing evil and wickedness. That is why there is a fight around the body of a person as to who will possess it. And my question this morning is, who has possessed your body? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it another spirit? How many times have you heard people saying, I don't know what got on me when I did that. And afterwards, it lifted. And I wondered, that was not me who did that. What was it? A spirit took over. You are caught in this rage and anger, and you don't even know why. A spirit of anger possesses you and forces you to do things. You break pots, you break windows, you smash cars, and then the thing lifts. You're like, huh? That is not me. Yeah, it was not you. There was a spirit controlling you. And the same thing happens. The Spirit of Jesus comes on you. The anointing comes and you start laying hands on the sick and the sick get healed. It's not you. It's the Spirit of Jesus at work in your life. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Your body is so valuable to the extent that the Holy Spirit chose your body to be His temple. I want you to just think about that. When heaven looks at you, heaven sees a temple. Heaven sees a tabernacle. Heaven sees a church building, if I can say it that way. A place where worship should happen. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Wow, what a way of introducing this one. Flee. Baleka. Flee fornication. Bazalwane. Flee this thing. You don't negotiate with this thing. You run. Young people, you run. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits fornication sins against his own body. Remember, your body is special. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God, rather, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So both your body and your spirit belongs to God. The expectation is that when you get into a temple, you should see worship taking place. When we get into your life, is there worship taking place? You see, what you do with your body determines your honor for God. And what you do with your body determines what God can do with you and in you. You see, you and I have a choice as to what we do with our bodies. It's your body. Romans 6, verse 13. Do not present the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. So it's a choice that I make to present this body as an instrument of righteousness. So important, saints, that we grasp this revelation. We'll start handling ourselves with care. Because it's valuable. It's valuable property. Glory be to God. Let's go back to David. David was a real person who had weaknesses, who had flaws, who had weaknesses. And it's important that we learn from David and many other characters of the Bible. We're discussing this in our cell group on Thursday. But whatever you see in the Old Testament was an accurate record of how people lived their lives. It doesn't necessarily mean that the way they lived is how they ought to have lived. But rather, it's an accurate record of how people lived. And from whatever they experienced, we are able to learn how to do life and what not to do. And what to do. So let's not use scriptures to justify misdemeanors in our lives. Rather, let's use scriptures to enable us to live a life that is acceptable before God. So at some point, David was overcome by lust towards women. He had a weakness. And this weakness is found amongst a lot of men. That is why men need to deal with this matter severely, because it's an issue that has affected so many of us. So when David was overcome by this demon called lust, he ended up sleeping with another man's wife, Bathsheba. The Bible says in a season when kings were supposed to be at war, that's where trouble started. David, you're supposed to be out in the field fighting the battles of the Lord. And there you are at your palace, resting. And the Bible says, one day he peeped out of his palace from the penthouse and he saw this gorgeous looking woman. And he's like, who is she? Dude, you've got two wives already. What's your problem? Who is she? And they told him, it's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. David calls Bathsheba, and he ends up sleeping with Bathsheba. And out of that, a boy was conceived. A child was conceived. And he hid this issue. It resulted in the death of Uriah. where he then arranged a hit. You know, the issue of arranging hits didn't start here in South Africa. It has been there. So David arranged a hit against the husband of this wife in order to get rid of the problem. That's not how you deal with problems. Uriah died. Bathsheba falls pregnant, and God is not happy. Now, Nathan confronts the prophet. And he says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9, "Why have you despised the word of Jehovah to do evil in his sight? You have stricken Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. And therefore," this is the consequence, "and therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me." In other words, you have dishonored me. You have dishonored me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. So says Jehovah, "Behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of his son, of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." Guys, sin is bad. There are consequences. There is grace, but there are consequences. Let's not abuse grace and keep on sinning so that grace might abound. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, "Shall we continue in sin so that grace might abound? God forbid." I want to challenge you, child of God, this morning to say, there are things that need to stop. God has extended grace, but it is time to say no to sin. The Bible says, how can we continue in sin if we are dead to sin? Dead to sin. I had more to cover, but I'm going to leave it here today. But I want you to realize that your body is treasure. Your body is valuable. And the Lord is saying, if you can honor me in your body, that is honor to God. When you set yourself apart, when you sanctify yourself for his use, the Lord will come and use you mightily. The reason why churches in some places they is devoid of power, it is because we have not honored God in this area. Herod, you can come up and start playing as we wind down. And this morning, I want to challenge the church. May the fear of the Lord return to his house. May the reverence of the Lord return to his house. As I'm preaching right now, it might not be sexual sin that you're struggling with, but whatever you're struggling with, the Lord is able to give you strength and grace to overcome. Glory be to God. Only if you can lay it before him today and say, "Lord, I put this down before you. I cannot, but you can." Standing here, there are a lot of things that I cannot, but he can. It starts with us saying, "I want to honor God. Lord, if your word says this is not how I ought to live, Lord, help me. Lord, give me grace. Lord, I am weak, but your strength is made perfect in my weaknesses." This morning, you can stand up and trust God for strength for that issue. It is so important that we come to that place where we serve and we know that God is a gracious God, but he's also a God of justice. He's a righteous God. And Paul says it is time that judgment should start in the house of God. There is no hope for our community if the church is not able to be truthful about these matters. The church is the only hope that our nations have. And so today I want us to pray for ourselves. I need so much God in my life. I need so much God in order to guard my thoughts. David says, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God. And this morning, we can surrender all. And when we surrender, His grace comes and He works with us. I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe it's your mouth, it's your tongue that is very sharp, that cannot be controlled. But today you can render and commit that tongue before God and say, Lord, I give you my tongue. May it be an instrument of righteousness. Maybe it's your hands. You've been taking stuff that doesn't belong to you. Today you can say, Lord, take these hands and use them, Lord. Maybe it's the lust of the eye. You've got a wandering eye. You can say, Lord, take these eyes and turn them around. The Bible says, if your eye is causing you to sin, gouge it out. It's better for you to enter heaven with one eye than entering hell with both eyes. What did Jesus mean? He says, present that body part to God. In Jeremiah, the Bible says, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I might not sin against you. There is behavior that we have normalized, but it's abnormal. Paul talks to the church at Corinth and he says, the stuff that I hear in this church, even non-believers don't do it. But you celebrate in that. I hear that one of you slept with his own mother. May the fear of the Lord return to the church once again. And when that happens, His glory comes. The power of God will be present to save, to heal, and to deliver. This morning, it's Victory Sunday. You need victory in this area. So many times when we think of Victory Sunday, we are thinking of physical breakthrough. We are thinking about being healed and getting a job. That's okay. But we need victory in this area to honor God. Lord, I need to be victorious in God honoring. Lord, I'm coming back to that place where it's all about you. When everything dies off, when the music fades, I'm coming back to that place of worship. I don't know, maybe we've become so used to God that we don't see confession as something that needs to be done. But God is gracious. You and I today can do a bit of business with the Lord before we finish. We can talk to the Lord. We can open up our hearts to Him. You see, an unconfessed sin will always have power over you. But when you confess something, you break the power of that thing from your head. You've got to embarrass sin before sin embarrasses you. By telling it, by calling it out, and say, you spirit of lust, you have no power over my life in Jesus' name. The Bible says, catch us the little foxes that destroy the vineyard. It's not the big foxes. The little foxes. The small tigers we rear up and the thing is growing until one day. What are the little tigers we are preserving and keeping in our cubby holes at home? And the Lord is saying, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And my glory will come. You will see breakthroughs in your life. Let's pray. pray for yourself right now. You need victory. I need victory. I need victory. I need to overcome. Some of you have justified certain things because the world does it and it's acceptable. But it cannot be acceptable in the eyes of God. Some of you need to just really make some decisions this morning. Some decisions that will have repercussions over your life. But hey, that is what it is to honor God. Some of you need to come to that place where you say, yes, it will be uncomfortable, but for the honor of one, I will do it. I will make this choice. And when you do it, when you honor God, He will honor you back. Some of these decisions will have financial implications on you, but the Lord will open doors for you. When you choose to honor Him, He will honor you. Glory be to God. Oh, yes, Father, we pray today. Come on now, let's speak to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Yes, it is Victory Sunday, and this is a place of victory that we need. Father, we pray that as a church, we would be victorious. Father, I pray that we'll be God-honoring. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, how much we need you. Oh, how much we need you, Father. Lord, we are sorry. Father, we have allowed things that are not of God to be part of us. But Lord, we are coming to that place of honor where it's all about you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray today. I pray that you'd prick our hearts. Father, we pray today for your mercies. We pray for your grace, oh God. Great is thy faithfulness, Jesus. Great is thy faithfulness. We pray, Father, that you'd come and strengthen us, oh God. I pray that you'd enable us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, you are mighty in battle. You do miracles so great. We pray for victory. We pray that we'd stand, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Forgive us as a church. I pray that you'd cleanse us, oh God. We pray for the blood of Jesus to wash us, oh God. We pray today in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, start a new work in the hearts of your people. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor today. Great is thy faithfulness, oh God.